How hot is it?
The Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. It's so hot, they turned off the video billboards in Times Square to save power. They dimmed the lights on the Brooklyn Bridge and in the halls of Congress. Still, up and down the East Coast, demand for electricity broke records yesterday. On Wall Street, that drove up the price of power company stocks. The Dow Jones Utilities Index hit a record high. But investors hoping for huge profits might be disappointed. Amy Scott reports.
You'd think power companies would be raking it in these days. As their customers plug in more air conditioners and fans, they're naturally paying more for all that extra juice. But energy consultant Richard Lockhart says it's not that simple. Many power plants produce electricity by burning natural gas, and the recent surge in demand has been pushing natural gas prices through the roof.
In addition, as the utilities need to provide higher amounts of power, they're getting into less efficient units, so they actually burn more gas just to make the same quantity of energy.
Some states cap the price utilities can charge for electricity, so they can't always make up the difference. Even when power companies profit from higher demand, they also run the risk of damaging equipment. When that happens, as it did in New York a few weeks ago, repairs and customer rebates can drain any extra cash. In New York, I'm Amy Scott for Marketplace.
One company not making money off the heat, Starbucks. Apparently, Starbucks wasn't prepared for so many people ordering cold drinks like Frappuccinos. So there were long lines and a drop in sales last month, but the company's adding staff to keep up. Overall, Wall Street bounced back from a two-day skid. The Dow climbed 74 points, 2/3%. The Nasdaq gained 8/10. Oil dropped a bit today, but still trading at $75 a barrel. Some of the scientists at Environmental Protection are wagging their fingers at the agency. They say the EPA is not looking closely enough at ingredients used in pesticides. And they say the EPA is rushing in order to meet a deadline today. From the Marketplace Sustainability Desk, Sam Eaton reports.
So-called organophosphate pesticides were derived from World War II-era nerve gas. They're banned in England, Sweden, and Denmark. But pesticide advocates say in the U.S. these compounds are indispensable. Leonard Genesi with the trade group CropLife America says nothing else offers farmers a bigger bang for their buck.
A common rule of thumb is $4 of value for farmers for every dollar that they spend.
Genesi says pesticide use in agriculture can increase crop yields by 20%, boosting value for U.S. consumers. But at what price? David Pimentel is an ag science professor at Cornell University.
When we list the advantages of pesticides, very seldom, if ever, are the environmental and public health costs of using pesticides stated loud and clear.
Pimentel says those unaccounted costs amount to about $10 billion a year. I'm Sam Eaton for Marketplace.
This is Marketplace. Something old, something new. Volkswagen is reviving a classic from its vault. Andrea Gardner reports.
Remember that adorable little hatchback from the 70s, the Rabbit? Well, it's back. Slow sales of the VW Golf prompted the change, so the automaker redesigned the Golf and slapped on a new name. Auto analyst John Wakanowicz with the firm Global Insight says baby boomers are more likely to remember the old Rabbit's quality and styling problems, but it's a different tale for 20-somethings.
If you're a younger person, a Gen Y, for example, you've never heard of the original Rabbit. Just about every Gen Y I've talked to has said, yeah, cool name.
And the revived Rabbit will cost about $1,000 less than the Golf. Wakanowicz says that should help the VW race against Honda in the affordable car market. I'm Andrea Gardner for Marketplace.
The Marketplace Morning Report is produced and distributed by American Public Media.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Microsoft Dynamics, business solutions for CRM, supply chain, and financial management. Microsoft.com/Microsoft Dynamics. And by Reuters. Reporting from around the world, every day, every hour, every second. Reuters helps you stay in the know now.
This is Marketplace. I'm Scott Jagow. Listen to these numbers. United Airlines, 119 million. Continental, 198 million. American Airlines, $291 million. U.S. Airways, $305 million. Those are profits for the second quarter. It's the first time since 9/11 the legacy airlines have all made money. Richard Gritta studies the industry at the University of Portland. I asked him what the airlines are doing right.
Well, what they're doing to increase their profitability is cutting way back on the costs that they can control. And the big one, of course, is wages. They're changing their route structures, getting more efficient, dropping some of the unprofitable routes, and they're really putting pressure on all their workers.
Well, as a passenger, what I see is no meals, higher fares, fewer flights. What am I getting out of the big airlines turning a profit?
Welcome to the cattle car in the sky. Not much, let me tell you, not much. What you're seeing is an attempt to reduce capacity, which means the planes are flying with far more people. You know, it's a situation where the consumer is not getting a heck of a lot out of it because fares are back up. You're paying more, you've got less room, and you've got less amenities. So I don't see any short-term relief for the consumer.
Southwest is still gushing cash, but the old school airlines made almost as much as Southwest last quarter. What does that tell you?
Well, you have to understand that that's the current situation. You know, everybody was saying, look at JetBlue, and look at how they were doing a couple of years ago. The vast majority of the carriers in this industry are highly overleveraged. And when the economy's doing well and their traffic is going up, that's going to help them a bit. Southwest is very conservatively financed. I brought up JetBlue because all of a sudden JetBlue's profits fell and people said, but what's the matter here? What's the matter was all that debt came back to haunt them. Southwest is a modicum of how to finance an airline as well as to how to run it operationally. And these guys now, the legacy carriers, are trying to streamline to look more like Southwest. And to some extent, they've been successful, but they're still not going to get their costs down low enough to compete with Southwest in the long run.
Well, a couple of the other legacy carriers, Delta and Northwest, are still in bankruptcy. But are they in better shape, too, along with the other airlines that are making a profit?
Well, to the extent that a rising tide, you know, raises all the boats, yeah, because the economy is still doing fairly well and air traffic is coming back. But they're trying to get rid of all their pensions, dumping them on the taxpayer, basically. If the threat and strikes at Northwest come about, the flight attendants are not very happy, you could see the liquidation of another major carrier. It's not beyond the realm of possibility at this juncture.
So should we run out and buy airline stock or not?
Depends on whether you're a speculator. You know, I mean, you can make money in highly speculative stocks, but if you're an investment-grade investor, stay away from them, unless you're talking about a Frontier or a Southwest. They are highly speculative, and they're going to remain that way.
All right, Richard, thanks a lot.
Okay.
Richard Gritta studies the airline industry at the University of Portland. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for listening. Have a great day.
American Public Media.
Next time on Marketplace, a word from the nation's